You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on The Obstacle is the Way. More wisdom and less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on The Obstacle is the Way, The Timeless Art of Turning Trials into Triumph by Ryan Holiday. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. Whatever we face, we have a choice. Will we be blocked by obstacles, or will we advance through and over them? The world is constantly testing us. It asks, are you worthy? Can you get past the things that inevitably fall in your way? Will you stand up and show us what you're made of? Plenty of people have answered this question in the affirmative, and a rarer breed still has shown that they not only have what it takes, but they thrive and rally at every such challenge. That the challenge makes them better than if they'd never faced the adversity at all. Now it's your turn to see if you're one of them, if you'll join their company. This book shows you the way. End quote. That is Ryan Holiday from The Obstacle is the Way. Learning to turn our biggest challenges into our biggest opportunities is what this book is all about. The timeless art of turning trials into triumph. Marcus Aurelius tells us, the impediment to action advances the action. What stands in the way becomes the way. In short, the obstacle is the way. Ryan Holiday is a brilliant writer and guy, and this book is a really smart, lucid, compelling, inspiring manual on the art of living invincibly. Ryan masterfully integrates ancient Stoic wisdom from Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, and Epictetus, and brings that wisdom to life via inspiring stories featuring everyone from John D. Rockefeller, Ulysses S. Grant, and Theodore Roosevelt, to Amelia Earhart and Steve Jobs. My book is all marked up and peppered with wows and yeses. I also listened to the audiobook. If you're enjoying this note, I think you'll really dig it. I've got a link in the PDF, and of course, Google it. The book has three parts, perception plus action plus will. Let's take a quick look at each of those, and then a few of my favorite big ideas you can bring into your life today. Hope you enjoy. We'll start with the first big idea. Principle number one, perception. Quote, what is perception? It's how we see and understand what occurs around us and what we decide those events will mean. Our perception can be a source of strength or of great weakness. If we are emotional, subjective, and short-sighted, we only add to our troubles. To prevent becoming overwhelmed by the world around us, we must, as the ancients practiced, learn how to limit our passions and their control over our lives. It takes skill and discipline to bat away the pests of bad perceptions, to separate reliable signals from deceptive ones, to filter out prejudice, expectation, and fear. But it's worth it, for what's left is truth. While others are excited or afraid, we will remain calm and imperturbable. We will see things simply and straightforwardly, as they truly are, neither good nor bad. This will be an incredible advantage for us in the fight against obstacles. End quote. Perception. It's the first key to turning obstacles into assets. Ryan walks us through the mechanics of properly conditioning our minds and brings the wisdom to life with some incredibly compelling stories. Know this, we always, all caps, have a choice as to how we respond to any given situation. Between stimulus and response, there's always a choice. We want to choose wisely. As we master our perception, we turn our attention to the second principle, action. That is the second big idea, action. Quote, what is action? Action is commonplace. Right action is not. As a discipline, it's not any kind of action that we'll do, but directed action. Everything must be done in the service of the whole, step by step, action by action. We'll dismantle the obstacles in front of us. With persistence and flexibility, we'll act in the best interest of our goals. Action requires courage, not brashness. Creative application and not brute force. Our movements and decisions define us. We must be sure to act with deliberation, boldness, and persistence. Those are the attributes of right and effective action. Nothing else. Not thinking or evasion or aid from others. Action is the solution and the cure to our predicaments. End quote. So step one, get your mind right. Properly see the event as an opportunity to demonstrate our strength. Step two, take right action with deliberation, boldness, and persistence. Again, Ryan brilliantly walks us through how to go about doing this, and we'll take a quick look at a couple of my favorite big ideas in a moment. For now, let's go to step three, will. All right, that's the next big idea, will. What is will? Will is our internal power, which can never be affected by the outside world. It is our final trump card. If action is what we do and we still have some agency over our situation, the will is what we depend on when agency has all but disappeared. Placed in some situation that seems unchangeable and undeniably negative, we can turn it into a learning experience, a humbling experience, a chance to provide comfort to others. That's will power. But that needs to be cultivated. We must prepare for adversity and turmoil. We must learn the art of acquiescence and practice cheerfulness, even in dark times. Too often people think that will is how bad we want something. In actuality, the will has a lot more to do with surrender than strength. Try God willing over the will to win or willing it into existence. For even those attributes can be broken. True will is quiet humility, resilience, and flexibility. The other kind of will is weakness disguised as bluster and ambition. See which lasts longer under the hardest of obstacles. End quote. That's genius. So those are the three parts to turning trials into triumphs. Perception plus action plus will. Now, let's dive in a little deeper. Next big idea, don't hit the panic button. Quote, John Glenn, the first American astronaut to orbit the Earth, spent nearly a day in space, still keeping his heart rate under 100 beats per minute. That's a man not simply sitting at the controls, but in control of his emotions. A man who had properly cultivated what Tom Wolfe later called the right stuff. But you confront a client or a stranger on the street and your heart is liable to burst out of your chest. Or you are called on to address a crowd and your stomach crashes through the floor. It's time to realize that this is a luxury, an indulgence of our lesser self. In space, the difference between life and death lies in emotional regulation. End quote. I love that. John Glenn flies into space, all caps, first American to do so, and his heartbeat never goes over 100 beats per minute. We, on the other hand, have a little challenge in our lives and our heart rate soars. Dope. We must train ourselves to control our emotions. Ryan tells us about the first NASA missions. Can you guess what the astronauts were most thoroughly trained in? To not panic. Freaking out in outer space is not okay. Those astronauts needed remarkable emotional regulation to keep their minds right when the inevitable challenges came their way. We need to cultivate the same ability to control our perception, stepping in between stimulus and response to consciously, deliberately choose the optimal way to view the situation. Good news is we can build that skill. As Ryan says throughout the book, it's simple, just not easy. So, next time you feel your heart rate climbing during your normal day, take a few deep breaths, slow down that monkey mind, and think of Mr. Glenn, with his right stuff orbiting our little blue marble, and take that inspiration with you as you rock whatever you're up to. All right, next big idea, post-traumatic growth. Quote, it's a beautiful idea. Psychologists call it adversarial growth or post-traumatic growth. That which doesn't kill me makes me stronger is not a cliche, but fact. The struggle against an obstacle inevitably propels the fighter to a new level of functioning. The extent of the struggle determines the extent of the growth. The obstacle is an advantage, not adversity. The enemy is any perception that prevents us from seeing this. End quote. Post-traumatic growth. Imagine that. Something super challenging happens to us. We can either break down or grow. The same event can elicit post-traumatic stress or post-traumatic growth. Seriously, same exact event. Two different people, two different responses, two different results. What's the key determinant? Our perception, of course. Martin Seligman, one of the leading figures in the positive psychology movement, talks about this in his book Flourish, and his book Learned Optimism is essentially a manual on the science of cultivating our perception. See notes on both of those books. Here's how he puts it. Quote, first, students learn the ABC model, how beliefs, B, about an adversity, A, and not the adversity itself, cause the consequent, C, feelings. This is a point of major insight for students. Emotions don't follow inexorably from external events, but from what you think about those events. And you can actually change what you think. End quote. A plus B plus C. Got it. And I just love the way Ryan tells us that, quote, the extent of the struggle determines the extent of our growth. Our only true enemy is a story that tells us something different from that. Joseph Campbell puts it this way. See the notes on The Power of Myth, where he says, quote, there is an important idea, Nietzsche, of amor fati, the love of your fate, which is in fact your life. As he says, if you say no to a single factor in your life, you have unraveled the whole thing. Furthermore, the more challenging or threatening the situation or context to be assimilated and affirmed, the greater the stature of the person who can achieve it. The demon that you can swallow gives you its power, and the greater life's pain, the greater life's reply. End quote. That is just genius. Thank you, Campbell and Nietzsche. Nassim Taleb echoes that wisdom in his genius book, Anti-Fragile, reminding us that, quote, wind extinguishes a candle and energizes a fire. So let's eat our challenges like an energy bar, getting fueled, not crushed. All right, next big idea. Unity of purpose plus deafness to doubt plus desire to stay at it. Quote, too many people think that great victories like Grant's and Edison's came from a flash of insight, that they cracked the problem with pure genius. In fact, it was the slow pressure, repeated from many different angles, the elimination of so many other more promising options, that slowly and surely churned the solution to the top of the pile. Their genius was unity of purpose, deafness to doubt, and the desire to stay at it. End quote. That's a great equation for genius. Unity of purpose plus deafness to doubt plus the desire to stay at it equals genius. As Edison tells us, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. We are seduced into believing the myth of genius being a flash of insight, with the outcome easily falling into the hands of its creator. But, all caps, that's not how it works. Period. Still all caps. As Carol Dweck asks us in her seminal book, Mindset, she says, is it ability or mindset? Was it Mozart's musical ability or the fact that he worked till his hands were deformed? Was it Darwin's scientific ability or the fact that he collected specimens nonstop from early childhood? End quote. Mozart worked so hard, he made his hands deformed. Think about that. Did you know that? Because most of us buy into the myth that he was just magically born a genius. Sure, he was born into a musical family. His father literally wrote the book on music instruction, but he worked ridiculously, more caps, hard to achieve all that he did at such a young age. Let's rewrite the genius equation. It is not born a genius plus inspiration plus stars aligning equals genius. In fact, it is unity of purpose plus deafness to doubt, plus the desire to stay at it equals genius. How's your unity of purpose? You deaf to doubt? You have an insatiable desire to stay at it? Awesome. Next big idea, the process. Quote, Coach Nick Saban doesn't actually refer to it very often, but every one of his assistants and players lives by it. They say it for him, tattooing it at the front of their minds and on every action they take, because just two words are responsible for their unprecedented success. The process. Saban, head coach of the University of Alabama football team, perhaps the most dominant dynasty in the history of college football, doesn't focus on what every other coach focuses on, or at least not the way they do. He teaches the process. That's with a capital T and capital P, the process. Saban says, quote, "Don't think about winning the SEC championship. Don't think about the national championship. Think about what you need to do in this drill, on this play, in this moment. That's the process. Let's think about what we can do today, the task at hand," end quote. The process. Wow, that is a big idea. You have a big goal, a big challenge. Don't focus on the hugeness of it. Focus on the little things you can do to chip away at it. Here's how Joe DeSena, uber athlete and creator of Spartan Race, puts it in his great book, Spartan Up. See those notes. He tells us, quote, "The way to get through anything mentally painful is to take it a little at a time. The mind can't handle dealing with a massive iceberg of pain in front of it, but it can deal with short nuggets that will come to an end. So instead of thinking, ugh, I've got 24 miles to go, focus on making it to the next telephone pole in the distance. Whether you're running 20 or 120 miles at a time, the distance has to be tackled mentally and physically 1 mile at a time. The ability to compartmentalize pain into these small bites is the key," end quote. Telephone pole to telephone pole. That's how we want to roll. Here's another quick story on making the process primary. In With Winning in Mind, see those notes, unbelievably good book, Lanny Basham tells us, quote, "I suggested that instead of setting a goal to win, Ben should set a goal to make the process of playing well his primary focus. Process is primary became a theme for the year. Ben's job while playing was to think about executing his mental and technical systems and not to think about winning. Scoring is a function of great execution, and winning is the result. But thinking about winning can pull your focus off of proper execution in a competition. Thinking about process is the answer." In the fourth tournament of the year at San Diego's Torrey Pines course, Crane found himself just 30 inches from the cup on 18. The crowd knew Ben needed to make the putt for the win, but Crane had no idea. When the ball rolled in, his playing partner, Ryuji Yamada, offered his hand in congratulations. Thinking this was just the customary handshake after the round, Ben did not realize he had won until Heather, his wife, ran onto the green. "Did I win?" Crane said. This was the proof that a player can cause his mind to think about process instead of outcome, even with the possibility of winning pulling at him. Crane's third career victory earned him $954,000. Sending him on to his best year at that point, end quote. Did I win? Crane had a $1 million putt, and all he was thinking about was the process. And that's the question we need to ask. Did I win? Focus on the process, and the process. All right, that brings us to the final big idea. The obstacle is the way. Quote, "So that under pressure and trial, we get better, become better people, leaders, and thinkers, because those trials and pressures will inevitably come, and they won't ever stop coming. But don't worry, you're prepared for this now, this life of obstacles and adversity. You know how to handle them, how to brush aside obstacles and even benefit from them. You understand the process." Let's say it once again just to remind ourselves. See things for what they are. Do what we can. Endure and bear what we must. What blocked the path is now a path. What once impeded action advances action. The obstacle is the way, end quote. That is so good. Vernon Howard comes to mind as we wrap this up. He tells us, quote, "If it takes apparent misfortune to turn us into true philosophers and doers of good to receive good, then apparent misfortune is our greatest fortune." Well, I hope you enjoyed this quick look at a great book. I got another link in the PDF to pick it up. Here's to seeing clearly, acting correctly, and enduring, plus accepting the world as it is, as we see that the obstacle is the way. Well, if you like this note, I think you'll like the notes on other Stoic wisdom. Again, this book is based on Stoic philosophy. Marcus Aurelius' Meditations, Seneca's Letters from a Stoic, Epictetus' The Enchiridion. We all have notes on those. I think you'll dig them. Spartan Up, Turning Pro, Mindset, and other notes I think you'll like if you liked this one. Ryan Holiday is a media strategist and prominent writer on strategy and business. Get a link to learn more about him. Just Google him, Ryan Holiday. Brilliant guy, brilliant book. And let's go take a look at some of those quotes from the sidebar. We'll call it a day. All right, Marcus Aurelius tells us, the impediment to action advances the action. What stands in the way becomes the way. Publilius Syrus tells us, would you have a great empire? Rule over yourself. F. Scott Fitzgerald says, genius is the ability to put into effect what is in your mind. There's no other definition of it. Ryan Holiday says, if perception and action were the disciplines of the mind and the body, then will is the discipline of the heart and soul. He also tells us, the phrase, this happened and this is bad, is actually two impressions. The first, this happened, is objective. The second, it is bad, is subjective. Important distinction. Theodore Roosevelt tells us, what such a man needs is not courage, but nerve control, cool-headedness. This he can only get by practice. Nietzsche tells us, my formula for greatness in a human being is amor fati, that one wants nothing to be different, not forward, not backward, not in all eternity. Not merely bear what is necessary, still less conceal it, but to love it. Ryan tells us, no one is talking glass half-full style platitudes here. This must be a complete flip, seeing through the negative, past its underside and into its corollary, the positive. He also tells us, there's no need to sweat this or feel rushed. No need to get upset or despair. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to be counted out. You're in this for the long haul. Two more from Ryan. He tells us, the process is about finishing. Finishing games, finishing workouts, finishing film sessions, finishing drives, finishing reps, finishing plays, finishing blocks, finishing the smallest task you have right in front of you, and finishing it well. And finally, there's a saying in Latin, viris acquirit vendo, we gather strength as we go. That's how it works. That's our motto, end quote. We gather strength as we go. It's the essence of the obstacle is the way. Turning trials into triumphs. I hope you liked this quick look at this great little book. Quick reading, manifesto on invincibility, essentially. What was your favorite big idea? What idea really resonated, landed for you? How do you make that a more practical reality in your day-to-day life? Let's get on that. Hope you enjoyed. Look forward to sharing more with you soon. Have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.